Let's give them a hand. Establish also what they have to do, the worship and then the servants of the mates, just to serve behind the scenes, they've been incredible. So we're sending our best. It's awesome to send people that we know that they're going to really make an impact wherever they go. They're leaders and they've been called. Amen. But I just want to clarify one thing. I just want to make sure that it's just clear that I was not the one that was leading worship when Yanni first came. Because there's a possibility that you guys would think that maybe I was the one that eventually got a worship. But anyway, praise Jesus. So someone asked me a question this week. Quite a challenging question. Not only me, I asked a couple of people this question. I want to ask it to you tonight. It went something like this. It said, what do people experience when they come into contact with you? What do people experience? And maybe that's what we should ask ourselves as accountability partners or friends. You know what? Ask your friend, your best friend. Don't ask someone that doesn't know you so well. But ask someone that knows you. What do you experience when you come into contact with me? And I can ask a few more questions. I can ask the following question. Well, what do you talk about? Well, what excites you? When you're around me, when you're around you, what do people hear when they hear you talk? What heart comes out? Or what breaks your heart? Because I think that is what's going to come out if people spend time around them. What are you passionate about? What are you letting people experience when they're around them? See, all of us have got an odor. Okay, turn to someone else and say, you've got an odor. See this? There's something about smell. Now, this is, works well in the toilet, you know. There's something precious, you know, about like fragrance, you know, like, they don't want to use too much of this. Oh, my wife's going to kill me. I don't use this, by the way. No, there's something amazing about smell. You know, smells like you don't really see it, you know, because it's there. I'm going to talk about smell tonight. Good smell. Talk about fragrance. There's a definition in the Merriam-Webster dictionary that goes like this when it talks about fragrance. It says fragrance is a sweet or delicate odor, as of fresh flowers, pine trees, or perfume. It's something as a perfume compounded to give off a sweet or pleasant odor. The quality or state of having a sweet odor. See, all of us have got an odor. All of us are giving off something. Just like in the natural, okay? Let's talk about the natural first. Each of us have got a smell, you know. But in the spiritual, we've got an odor. Whether we like it or not, we are giving off something. Isn't that so? We are giving off some kind of a smell in the spirit. And I don't know about you, but you know, if you've been impacted by someone, I want you to think about when you first came to know this amazing love of the Lord. Who impacted your life? You know, some of us have these visitations like Yanni, you know, when God is in your room and he's so real, and you're like, what are you doing here? You know, like, I love that. You know, some of us have personal visitations from God, and most of us should have it, maybe somewhere along the line, I guess, if you're really intimate with God. But most of us have been impacted by someone who just had this odor about them, isn't that so? So I remember this I raised back in Stellenbosch. In fact, he happens to be the pastor of the church that they're going to. He was a year below me, studying engineering as well, but he just had a constant smile on his face, and he was full of joy, and I was like so irritated by this guy. Can't he have a bad day? But there was something about him that made me think that there's more, because I knew the Lord, and I think I was going to heaven. But there was something about this guy, and a couple of other guys, that were in this weird church, that had this odor about them, this fragrance about them. And it impacted my life, and it's not like I gave my life to the Lord right there when I saw the smile on his face, but it made me think, it made me realize that there's more, and so I haven't got this joy almost in my life. And so I want you to think back to the people that have impacted your life. Maybe it's not one person. I guess most of us, there's lots of people that have impacted us, maybe preachers or just people that have walked the path with you and that have led you closer to Christ. Because they've given off some kind of a fragrance, and I want to talk about that fragrance tonight. I want to talk about what are we supposed to smell like as believers. Isn't that so? Because that's an answer to the question, what do people experience when they come into contact with you? Because it's that odor, it's that fragrance that you're gonna give off. And so Paul talks about it in 2 Corinthians 2. So you can read with me. I've just got four verses that I'm gonna just go through tonight, and I trust the Lord to impact your life in some way that you would believe in. My prayer for you students that are going on holidays, that you would live this out, this holiday thing. That you would live this word out. And come back next term with a testimony, with many testimonies of how God has impacted lives through you. Because this is who you are. I want to tell you tonight that the Word of God is telling you who you really are. Amen. Because sometimes we don't know who we really are. We don't know what we're supposed to do. But tonight I trust that faith would be stirred in you, that you would know who you really are. And then you are called for something so much greater than just what you're doing right now, mate. Now thanks be to God, always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who have been saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. You see, the Apostle Paul was confident in a number of things, and it comes through in this passage of Scripture. He was confident. In one thing, he starts off by saying, God is the God who has won the battle. Amen. Can I have an amen? God is the God who is the victor. He's not the victor. He has the victory. He has led us in triumph. And maybe tonight you're here and you're feeling like a loser. You're feeling like you've been defeated and the enemy is over you and your own circumstances, your own life seems to be challenged. I want to say to you tonight that Paul was confident in this, and I believe we need to be confident in this. We can say, thanks be to God, because He leads us in victory. Amen. And that's you and that's me. When He's saying this, He leads us in victory. He's saying to the Corinthian believers, and I believe God is saying that to us today, that He leads us in victory. Amen. You can live a life of overcoming. You can live a life of victory. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. God is faithful, and we can be thankful that we serve a God who is a winner. Like the good politicians say, a winner. Tell someone next to you, you're a winner. You're a winner. You're not a loser. And you see, because of this triumph, because of this victory we have in Christ, Paul has confidence in this as well. He has confidence in this, that he is chosen. He's a chosen vessel to do something. And he's telling his audience, he's telling the Corinthians, through us, God chooses to do something. Amen. Say to someone next to you, through us.
Through us.
There's a confidence that Paul has in the fact that God has chosen to, through all of us as believers, diffuse His fragrance everywhere we go. Isn't that amazing? You're a diffuser. You can tell someone, you're a diffuser. We all diffuse. What does it mean? We spread this fragrance of the knowledge of Christ. sets us free, give us abundant life. Because I know my life would have been terrible if I didn't have Christ, believe me. It would have been boring, it would have been so calculated and so like, you know, I'm in control and you know, so full of frustration and so full of purposelessness. But when Christ came to save me, I had a purpose, I've got a purpose, and I want to live more and more for Him as I discover the fact that I've been saved from myself. Not just saved from hell, I've been saved from my own sinful nature. Saved from the love of the world, the pulling of the world. Just leads to death, isn't that so? All the stuff that the world has to offer, Christ has saved me from that. And there's nothing better than knowing Him. There's nothing better than, as Harold said, that personal place of worship where you battle for that time. You know, you have to battle for your time because the world has got lots of other things that you can do in your 24 hours. But there's nothing better than to worship God. To sometimes set aside time. I want to say to some people tonight, even setting aside some of your study time. I'm not saying you must not study, but I'm saying just be effective and say, God, I'm going to give you the first fruits of my time. Because there's nothing better than that. I'm not going to study through the night and get so frustrated and so stressed. I'm going to say, God, I'm going to put half an hour aside to worship you. You know, when I leave that place of worship, I'm going to have such a sound mind, such a clear mind. I'm going to learn effectively and I'm going to sleep wrong. I'm going to order my life because Christ is first and from that all things flow. There's nothing better than to know Christ. And out of this place of knowing, this fragrance spreads out of our lives, isn't that so? You know what he says? He says to every place. Turn to someone next to you and say, every place. So guess what that means? That means that whatever you do, wherever you go, you can be a diffuser of the knowledge of Christ. Amen. You can spread the fragrance. What a privilege it is to share the gospel, to share the good news of the knowledge of Christ. And you know, it clears out all those bad odors in the world, because that's what it's supposed to do. The gospel is good news, and it overcomes, just like, you know, when you have to spray some of the stuff in the toilet, and it overcomes that bad smell, okay? Because there's lots of bad smells out in the world, but the fragrance of the knowledge of Jesus Christ overcomes it. What a privilege it is for us to be diffusers, to spread the knowledge of Jesus Christ, isn't that so? And then Paul goes on to say that we are to God, first of all, the fragrance of Christ. In other words, tonight I want to say that we are firstly the fragrance of Christ to God. Amen. Sometimes we first want to be the fragrance to other people, and it's important to be the fragrance to other people, but I want to say tonight, first we must be the fragrance of Christ to God. And that means that place of personal worship, that place of intimacy where we represent Christ in us to God, and we say to God, God, I'm going to be the fragrance to you. It's my place of worship. It's my place of, before I'm going to do lots of stuff for you and change the world, Lord, it's so important that I be the fragrance of Christ and to God first. And you know, out of that place, we're going to be the fragrance to people. But I've seen in my own life, when I try to be the fragrance to people and I try to do stuff for God before doing stuff to God, you know what I do? I go into words. I go into performance mode and I try to do good stuff instead of saying, I'm going to be the fragrance, first of all, to God. So when we represent God, we represent Him, first of all, to Him and then to people. And what does Paul say about the people we must represent? To Christ too. We must represent them to both unbelievers and believers. It's interesting that Paul talks about those who are being saved. So guess what? All of us need representation. That's why it's so wonderful to come to church. That's why it's wonderful, like we've heard tonight, these testimonies, that it's wonderful to be a part of a body, because guess what? We need input sometimes. We need someone to just represent and be the fragrance of Christ to us. We need encouragement. We need each other. We need to be challenged many times. So Paul says that as believers, we're supposed to represent Christ first of all to those who are being saved. We're supposed to be the fragrance to those who are being saved, because no one has arrived yet. No one is perfect. We all need input. We all need to receive from other people. That's what makes church so wonderful, what makes the body so wonderful. And so we can be representatives to those around us. We can be the fragrance of Christ, yeah, in church. And I think we're quite good at it. Christ's love to each other. But he says it's important that we not only represent Christ to each other, but we represent Christ to those who are perishing, to the world out there. Paul says we are to be like he did in 1 Corinthians 9:22. He said he became all things to all men. Have you ever read that scripture? He became all things to all men, and then he ends off by saying that by all means I might save some. By all means you need to save some. I believe we need a fresh revelation that some people are perishing now. Amen. We need to be the fragrance of God, not only to those who are being saved. We need to be to those who are perishing. And then when I was preparing for this, the Lord showed me the following. He said that, and I wrote it down, when the fragrance of Christ inside of us, when we have a revelation of the fragrance of Christ, when we get to know Jesus Christ, and how he has saved us, and where he saved us from, and how amazing he is, and we have that place of worship, that intimacy, when that experience inside of us meets the revelation that so many people out there are perishing, then something amazing happens in our hearts. Compassion is stirred. Compassion is stirred, and here's what we just know that we can make a difference. We just know that we are called, and no matter what the cost, we're going to do this. We're going to meet the needs out there. And that's why I'm trusting for this outreach, this local outreach that the Danes and Yanni are leading. I'm trusting that as a church that we just go to Haydenville. Just go. I'm going to invite you along. Come on Saturday, even just for a couple of hours. Come to the township. Come and see a little bit outside of our box. Because I believe, I'll never forget the first time I went into a township in Stellenbosch. A friend of mine, amazing guy, made such an impact on my life. He just said, come with me. He wasn't even in the same church. He was in another church. He just loved Jesus and loved to change the world. He just said, come and see the need in this township. And I went there like, you know, I'm not like, I wasn't so keen to go. I thought, let me just go see it. I'll tell you, when you see that 12 people or 13 people live in a room the size that most of us live in our home, then you just realize that your heart breaks. And you're just so shocked by what you see. You're shocked by the poverty and by the need out there. And then it shocks you to a place of, you know, what are we really doing? What difference are we making? Are we living for our comforts? Are we living for ourselves? And then you get so challenged, and then Christ starts to minister to you, and you get his heart, and then you start to realize this is what I'm called to. I'm called to make a difference. I'm called to see what God sees. Is that so? And so I think we need a revelation that there's actually some people dying. Not only poor people, I'm not talking only about poor people. I'm just talking about to see the need out there and to say, God, give me a revelation of what you've called me to do. That we are not only called to make a difference inside church, but to go out and to make a difference outside to the people who are perishing. And it's not like Paul says, if the people are perishing, stop listening, then you must stop talking. He just says, you be the fragrance of Christ the whole time. Whether people listen or not, just be the fragrance of Christ to those who are perishing and to those who are being saved. And that's how, I believe, how people change the world. That's how you hear of stories of Mother Teresa and all these people that go into amazing places. You hear stories of people changing the world. It's simply that revelation of the fragrance of Christ. Christ is in me, and I see the need, and compassion happens. Amen. I make a difference, and I just do it whenever the cost is. And then he goes on, he says, to those who are perishing, we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to those who are being saved, the aroma of life leading to life. Just want to tell two stories tonight, just to illustrate this. The one story is about a man. He was actually the third man passing by another man. So there was a man walking along the road, he was on a journey from one place to the next, and he was walking, and he was walking, and he suddenly saw the situation, he saw the scenario. And he was the third guy. The other two guys just walked past, and they saw exactly what he saw, but they just did nothing. They walked on. And so this man walked, and he saw the situation, and he realized if he doesn't do something now, then this man will probably die. So he went in there, he bandaged his wounds, and he patched him up because he was beaten, he was left for dead. So he saved this guy's life, literally. He put him on his dog, he took him to the innkeeper and said to the innkeeper had to help him, and he left him the next day and said, "Listen, now, make sure that he recovers and gets to where he needs to go." And he left him with money and he said, "I'll pay for everything." And he went on his way. A life was changed. A life was saved. Why? Because there was compassion. There was the realization that he has been called. And he sees this need and he doesn't just walk past the comfortable way. You all know that story. Story of the Good Samaritan. The story of life leading to life. The aroma of Christ that leads to life. The fragrance of Christ leading to life. So for some, life will happen. For some, a life will be saved. And I believe in the Spirit. Some people need that rescue. You see that they're going to help. They might have everything in this world, but they're going to help. And do we just walk past, or do we say, "God, I want to start to bandage up. I want to start to bandage up." And it's not going to be a quick fix, you know, because that's what we want, isn't it? So we want people to come and respond to an altar call or pray a quick prayer, and then they're saved. That's not what God is calling us to. God is calling us to something, and I'm going to mention it now. But you see, that's the story of life leading to life. And it's interesting in that story where the guy asks Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God." It's almost like he's got that sorted, isn't it? Because he doesn't ask, "Oh, how do I love the Lord my God?" He's got that sorted. He's worshiping God, and he's having great times with God. That God, Jesus says, "Then love your neighbor as yourself." And then he asks the question, "Who is my neighbor?" And that story comes from that answer, "Who is my neighbor?" Or that story is the answer, "Who is my neighbor?" You know, our neighbor is everyone who's in need. Everyone that we walk past and we see, I can make a difference. That's my neighbor. Whether they want to receive it or not. Because here's another story of the aroma of death leading to death. Another story of another man. Where are the women in these stories? Okay, but I know the women are all over. I just happened to use two men. I don't know why. Another man. Filled with the fragrance of Christ. Man with compassion. He was appointed by the leaders of back in the day of that church. He was appointed to oversee the mercy ministry, to oversee looking after orphans and widows and all this stuff. A man with compassion. A man who was filled with just the love of Christ. And guess what this man started to do? He started to realize, oh, there are these people that are asking questions, resisting a little bit, they don't agree, and then he started to preach the good news of the history of salvation of the world. And he started to preach about what happened in the Old Testament all throughout, and then this amazing other guy comes to die on the cross and to save the world, and actually this amazing other guy happens to be God himself, the Son of God, dies. And these people are furious. Because this doesn't tie up with their religion. This doesn't tie up with what they have been taught, and so we must start to prove that they just run him and they stone him to death. And the more stones get chucked at this guy, the more just fragrance of Christ coming out. He sees the glory of God as he goes to his death. All know the story of Stephen, the first martyr. The fragrance of death leading to death, and it happened to be his own death, but many times the fragrance and the aroma of Christ will not lead to life because people will not listen. Some people just won't listen. Some people won't hear. Some people don't want to receive. And you know what? It's okay. Jesus is also happy with that. One robber said yes to it, and the other resisted it. It's just unfortunate. It's just how life is. It's just the sinfulness of this world. Fallenness of man. It's sad. But everyone has got a choice. So for some people, we're going to be the aroma of death. We're going to be like stink to them. But we know that we're not stink. We've got this amazing odor. It's not our odor. It's the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ. Isn't that so? So for some, it'll be the aroma of life. And some, it'll be the aroma of death. And both men were filled with the fragrance of Christ. All they wanted to do was to spread this knowledge. To spread the good news. And then Paul asks the question, who is sufficient for these things? Who can do this stuff? Who can? Who is like gifted to do this? Who's able to do this? No one. No one can do this. This is like a massive privilege. None of us is able to do this except when we have this experience of Christ like Paul did. And you know, the very same guy in this stone Stephen, the guy who's writing this passage, Saul. He was Saul in camp 4. He was standing and he saw Stephen die, being stoned. And somehow I think a seed was definitely a seed was sown in his life, and he got saved, and he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Because there was an aroma of death leading to death for Stephen and for the other guys, but out of that came life for the great apostle himself. And he says none of us is able to experience this, none of us can do this in our own strength. When we have the revelation of Christ, and when we understand the fragrance that he wants to have come out of us, and we'll do. And then lastly, Paul ends by saying that all of this doesn't come from the wrong way. The only way I can write this stuff, the only way I can understand it, and I can really spread this fragrance and have confidence in the fact that I am the fragrance of Christ, and you are the fragrance of Christ, is because he knew he had a sincere heart. A pure heart, a heart with one motive, and that is to diffuse and spread this fragrance. And I think in the world today that we're living in, we read it all over Facebook, we see these articles of so much peddling, so much using the word of God for our own gain, isn't that so? So many, and I'm not against all the books and stuff, but so many people, you know, ministries and stuff that are based on, you know, wrong motives, and we don't know which is right or wrong, so we shouldn't judge. I just know that not everything that's out there is with a pure motive. In fact, it's in the Bible. Paul says we are not like other people peddling the word of God. We are not using the word of God for our own gain. We are not, because that's actually a stink. That stinks in the sight of God. But we have a sincere heart, and that's why we can speak in the sight of God in Christ. Because we haven't got an odor of a gifting or anointing which we are, you know, portraying. We haven't got an odor of success or significance that we are trying to push. We haven't got the bad stink of using the word of God for personal profit. I mean, you know, God help us, God save us from that. But we all use it, Paul says, we're doing it for the glory of God. To glorify means to make known. I heard a great definition. Glorify means a lot of things, but I heard this, that to glorify means to make known. If we're really glorifying God, then all we're doing, we'll make him known. And so I believe that glorifying God means to make God known for his own sake, and we are just going to have nothing to do with it. We're not going to feature. Or we're going to feature very, very little. We are just the small instrument. Yesterday I went up to Naval Hill with the kids and stuff, and like Nathan is standing there with Derek Mandela's feet, you know, like massive statue, and then this like little guy. I was thinking like this is like a picture of us and God. You know? In fact, it's obviously, you know, way exaggerated, because God's so much bigger than that. But that's how it must be. The statue is to glorify that person that it's representing. And so we are supposed to be these very small people and this massive God. That people can see the shadow overwhelms us, that we're not even there. We're in God's shadow, so they don't see us. They see this massive God. That's it. But Paul is saying that so many other people are peddling with the word of God. They're using it for their own profit. So people see God, but they see so much of the people. They see the person, they see all this other stuff. And I believe that if we want to really make God known and make him glorified, then we must be very small and he must be so great. Then we'll really glorify him. We'll make him known. We won't worry about what people think. We'll just be the message. In fact, we'll walk into a room and we'll just trust God that we're not seen, but there's such a fragrance coming out of us. I don't know about you, but I've been into places at times when I've just seen there's someone there that's just representing Christ, you know, better than the rest of us. You know, that's what I want. I want to be like that, where the person is not being exalted. It's just Christ that's coming out. The fragrance of Christ is there. You want to know about this God. So I believe when we walk into classrooms, when we walk into our families this holiday, when we walk into shopping malls, wherever we go, that we can be the fragrance of Christ. We can greet people across the till and across the counter. You know, wherever we go on holiday to our various towns and places, we can just be the fragrance of Christ. It's not about us, it's all about him. And we don't depend on the word of God, we don't try to convince people, we don't use the word of God to, you know, twist people's arms and to manipulate people and do all that. We just the truth bearers, bringers of the good news. Because I believe if we do that, if this is who we are, if we just do that, we'll be good. good and faithful servant, I think we're going to get rewarded. And then, if we know who we are, and honestly tonight, you can know who you are in Christ. You don't have to settle for loss, or for defeat, or for purposelessness. We have a purpose, and that's it, to glorify the Lord. Amen. And we do it by spreading the fragrance, spreading this amazing odor. Speaking in the Son of God. I want the ushers to just hand out the communion elements right now. We're going to take communion now. Just consecrate ourselves to the Lord again. And remember that wherever we go, everywhere, the fragrance of God, everywhere. See, what if we could all impact, and I want to leave you guys on this thought, what if we could all impact just one other person's life? One other person's life with the same fragrance that we were impacted by. If there was maybe one or two people that stood out in our life, and you realize, you know what, that seed that was sown in my life, I can be the same to other people. Isn't that so? You know, I believe like we get saved, you know, in a certain way, and I believe the way we get saved, the way we come to Christ, I believe there's a seed in our lives. We can just give that same stuff out. We can just be the same as we've experienced. We can just be the same. It doesn't matter how gifting or anointing, because sometimes we get so like, am I evangelistic or am I this? And then we calculate everything. Now I must live this way. And then we work on a method for how we can impact people's lives. I want to say, forget about that. You have an anointing, you have a gifting, you have a certain way, but just be the fragrance of Christ. Amen. Don't try to do it, and don't try to figure it out, and don't try to look at responses, because, you know, some it will be the odor of death, and some it will be the odor of life. But just be that fragrance, and I want to say, what happens if we can all just impact one person? I want to say tonight, like I said this morning, is that I think we're quite good at impacting each other's lives. I think we're quite good at discipling each other. I don't think we've got a lack of that in the church. But I want to challenge us all is to think about it this holiday, to think about it in the next while. What happens if we can just impact an unbeliever's life? Just befriend an unbeliever. Befriend someone, you know, and I guess, you know, maybe not lots of people in this place, you know, are totally against Christ. Maybe people kind of do know about him. They're not totally against him, but like Anthony only said, what happens if they're just a little bit far from God? What happens if we befriend them and we just decide, you know what, I'm just going to take this person on a journey. I'm not going to get them saved right now. You know, we want the quick fix, just people must just get saved, like, and then we move on to the next person. But let's impact people's lives and be the fragrance of Christ, where we can just reach one other person or two other people that are not in another church or in a church somewhere. Let's look for the people. Let's see the people in need. Okay? Let's go to the people that we can really reach, that really want to be reached in. Some people don't want to be. We're not going to stop being the fragrance to those people. But let's be effective. Let's just make a difference in one or two people's lives. And I believe if each of us can do that, if each of us can commit to just be the fragrance of Christ to one or two other people, I think we're going to make a difference. I think the world will be a much better place. I think God will be very much glorified. Amen. We are called to represent Christ. We are called to represent Him to all people. And our mission is simply to glorify God in all of that. I want to say tonight, to glorify God is to make Him known. To make Him known to the world. So each one of us has got an odor. Only Christ can give us a fragrance. Each one of us has got some kind of a smell. Might be quite good, you know, the smell of good works, the smell of lifestyle. Smell of being a good person. I don't think it's always a good smell in Christ's eyes. I think He just wants to give us His fragrance because it's a perfect odor. It's a perfect odor. It's an aroma. It's a sweet smelling aroma. So we've all got the smell. We all have an impact in some way, but only Christ can make us framing journey. So the last question, then we're going to pray. Are you willing to make a commitment today to be the fragrance of Christ everywhere you go? And out of that place, I believe, you can start to see who are the people that I can really bless. Who are the people that I'm hungry and thirsty now for? Relationship. If we can all do that, God will be glorified. Let's close our eyes and pray. And Lord, I thank you that you've called us, Lord, to be the fragrance of Christ, Lord, in the city, God, in our workplaces, our places of study, God, our residence. Father, you've called us to be the fragrance wherever we go. Lord, we receive this word tonight. We realize, God, that you want us to just spread and diffuse this incredible fragrance, not of our own lives, God, of our own good works and our own stuff, God, but just to be the fragrance of Christ in us, where he has saved us from our own self, saved us from sin, saved us from the double-mindedness or the dualism of this world, Lord, where we're so caught up many times between the world and the kingdom. But Lord, you've set our feet upon a rock. You've placed us in the kingdom of God. Lord, you've given us authority. You've given us this confidence like Paul had to know that in everything, Lord, you lead us in victory. Lord, I thank you tonight that you want to restore hearts, Lord, hearts that are being cold. Lord, hearts that are struggling, Lord, to just find their fullness in you, Lord, to find their identity in you. And I pray tonight, Lord, for each one of us. I pray, Lord, right now for just times of refreshing, God. Times of reminding that you are good and that you are God. Just be quiet with the Lord while the band comes forward. Just spend some time with the Lord right now. Just ask him. What is he saying to you? Deliver you of that. pray tonight, I want you to come. But we're going to take communion right now. We're going to thank God for His body. Lord, I thank You for Your body tonight. Lord, it's broken for all of us, all of our brokenness. And we come to respond to You tonight. Thank You for Your wholeness that You've brought for us, Lord. We don't have to be perfect. You want to squeeze a fragrance out of us. That something talks about You and Your kingdom and Your glory. So help us in that, Jesus. We come and eat this and we say, thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your broken body. Thank You that it's all possible. Because we are not sufficient to do this, like Paul says. Who is sufficient to be a fragrance for us? Not one of us qualified. Except for the pure heart You created in us. You make us pure. You make us new. You make all things new. And we eat of this body tonight. And we thank You that You make us new again. So let's eat together and ask Christ to make you new. If there's stuff that's old, stuff that needs to be redeemed, restored, healed, delivered, then eat of that body and ask Christ to come and deliver you, to heal you, to save you. We thank You for Your blood, Lord. We thank You that it flows, Lord. And You want us to flow into this world. You want us to go and to reach out, Lord. You want us to go and to be Your hands and Your feet, Lord. So, Lord, I ask as we think of this tonight, as a church, Lord, and as individuals, we ask You to open our hearts to see the need, Lord. To see like the Samaritan man who just saw the Jew, who he actually should have hated and he should have just walked away from it. But he saw him and he had compassion. I pray, Lord, that You'd open our eyes at this time to have compassion, to see the need out there, Lord, to see that people are dying and going to hell, see people that are perishing, see people that have physical needs, God, see people that have spiritual needs, Lord, emotional needs, so many needs out there, Lord, that our eyes are becoming blind, and we ask You to open our eyes to see beyond ourselves, in Jesus' name. Let's just join together and ask Jesus to open your eyes to You. So maybe tonight if you need to commit to receiving that fragrance for the first time, to receiving Christ Jesus in your heart for the very first time, or to come back to Him, then I want you to come forward for prayer. We would love to pray with you. If you need to come back to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because out of that place, fragrance of love, if you're not in that place where He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, there will be a bad odor that will flow from your life. But if you want the fragrance of Christ in your life, then we'd love to pray with you. So that's the one response. And the other response is, I want you to commit to being the fragrance of Christ everywhere you go. If that's you tonight, I want you to do it with someone. I want you to pray with someone now. If you need prayers personally, then come forward. We'd love to pray with you. And if there's blockages in your life, if there's stuff that's preventing you from just being free, being free to go whenever and be the fragrance and the blessing of Christ. There's something that you need to pray about and repent of and come forward. Otherwise, the rest of you, just find a partner quickly and just pray. Commit in this holiday with your family, wherever you go, to be that fragrance. Whether you get sent to Cape Town, get sent to Johannesburg, get sent to the nations, whether you go to India or Mozambique this holiday, wherever you go, it's not about how far or how bad the situation is. It's just about being the same. And then yesterday, today, and forever, that's what Jesus was, the same all the time. For us, we must be the same. Be all things to all. Be the fragrance of Christ wherever you go. So if you would like to pray with someone, just commit to doing that. Be a blessing this holiday, because that is who you are. What I tell you tonight, that is who you are. You are the fragrance of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together quickly. Find your partner quickly, just commit to doing that. If you need